The United Nations is on record saying that they'd like to reduce the world's population by 90%. You happy with that? No. Is that what you want for your children? And tonight, I also met a woman who I'd told months ago about the dangers of vaccines. She's got a one-year-old boy and a two-year-old boy and an 18-year-old girl, you know. This is not a new mum. I told her months ago about the dangers of vaccines. Please research it. They're deadly. They're used to control people and dumb them down. And a lot of people are getting paralyzed and a lot of children are dying. Please do your research. And my advice is, yeah, medical advice, sue me. Please don't take it. And I personally appealed to her. I remember personally appealing to this woman not to harm her children through the vaccines as best I could. I met her today. She'd done it. Oh, I had to take my boys, I had to take my children to be inoculated today. I said, I beg your pardon? And what? I thought you weren't going to do that. Weren't you going to do some research? Oh, yeah, but they pressurise me and they say it's best for me. And I thought I'd just get it over and done with. Get it over and done with. You've just possibly murdered your child for lack of information when somebody has actually warned you. So there we go. Vincent Eastwood is on the line. We're going to bring him in now. And can we call Vincent Eastwood? Oh, no, he has to ring Patty Turtle. That's right. Yeah, I'll just let him know. Yeah. Patty, can you call in Vincent Eastwood?
Yes, I'll call him now.
Thank you. Oh, here we go. Patty is calling you. There we go. And presumably we're still broadcasting here. And while that's happening, I want to show you a quick bit of research. I've been looking into the bloodlines of the Illuminati, Fritz Springmeier, The Bloodlines of the Illuminati. An excellent book, and it goes into stupendous detail about the origins and the histories of the Illuminati, 13 families like the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Collins, the Lee family, etc. And I do believe I can see Vinny there, so he must be ready to go. Hello, Vinny?
Ready and rearing.
So I believe we're live, Patty, is that correct?
Yes, we're live.
Welcome, okay. Vinny. But it's my absolute pleasure to welcome you back to the Free Truth Show. How are you?
How long's it been since I last been here, bro?
Well, I haven't broadcasted for about 4 or 5 months, and I think you were on a couple of months before that, so it's got to be a good 6 to 8 months, maybe.
Well, we've got not much to catch up on then, eh?
No. I mean,
what's changed since we last spoke? Is the New World Order defeated? No. Is 9/11 still an inside job? Yes, nothing much has changed.
Are there less people on the planet now as a result of depopulation? Yeah. Okay. This is Vinny Eastwood from American Freedom Radio, is that right?
Yeah, AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And if you Google Vinny Eastwood, it's Vinny with a Y, V-I-N-N-Y, Eastwood, basically, there's only really one Vinny Eastwood that's a Vinny notoriety, and that's me, so I'm number one on Google. Easiest way to find my website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
And that's a radio broadcast show. And Vinny speaking live from New Zealand right now on the other side of the planet.
Who
owns the planet, Vinny?
I don't know.
Who owns the planet?
Well, you'd have to define ownership.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, ownership means control over something. So the more poignant question is who controls the planet? You know, and then you'll find out who owns it.
Now, for people tuning in for the first time, let's play a game. I like to play a game with my guests. Let's imagine that people don't know what we're talking about. Where would you begin? What is the New World Order?
That's a tough one. Well, have you ever seen an election and the guy on the left side of the podium and the guy on the right side of the podium are saying exactly the same thing, and yet people think there's a difference? That's the New World Order. You ever turned on your tap and there's so much terrible crap in it that you can't light a match in the room. That's the New World Order. You ever been fired from a job because you came up with a really great invention and then somebody stole it from you? That's the New World Order. You ever been given a pill and instead of making you better, it made you sicker? That's the New World Order. You ever invested money in a finance company and had it all stolen and lost very, very quickly? That's the New World Order. You ever seen a country invaded for absolutely no good reason against international law? That's the New World Order.
Foundations.
You ever been in an education classroom where your ideas aren't allowed to be expressed, and if you express things that are outside the norm, you are demonized and ostracized from the rest of the group, and you don't have much friends because everybody else goes along to get along, but you don't, and that's why they don't like you. That's the new world order.
I've been reading Fritz Springmeier's excellent book, The Bloodlines of the Illuminati. He was a very special guest of mine a few weeks. We spoke for about 3.5 hours, and I've been taking notes on it. And let's have a look at this Carnegie Endowment for Peace. Gotta love the Orwellian doublethink. The Carnegie Endowment for Peace has been a major vehicle for the Illuminati to finance various projects. Tax-free. They use all your taxpayers' money, by the way, to bring in this new world order. She found out that the Foundation had schemed up how to create World War I in order to create social change to move the world toward eventual global government. She also found a memo instructing President Wilson to prolong the war. She went right through the records. She was very well trained, and she kind of lost her mind a bit because she found out how the world really works. It's interesting that a number of notable Illuminati companies such as ADM, DuPont, Kaiser Aluminum at Harvard University, and McDonnell Douglas, the same planes that spray the chemtrails, have engaged in a Bundy-run company named Bundy Environmental Tech. So I've managed to decipher that the largest aluminium company in the world is Kaiser Aluminium, which is incredible, really, United States company. So that may be one of the companies that are helping to spray us every day with the chemtrails. The chemtrails are a big problem over here in England. We had a massive chemtrail attack on Saturday. I did have a look and on my YouTube channel and upload some of the nasty chemtrail crap that's being sprayed on us, biological weapons from aircraft, basically not contrails, folks. Is it still ongoing and heavy in New Zealand, the chemtrails, Vinny?
Yes, there is. And in fact, we've been hotting this up. I've been communicating with many of the chemtrail activists in the United States. Basically, they are leading the charge. As always, it seems to be the Americans that bring the rest of us into these conflicts. But against chemtrails, geoengineering, or against innocent countries that have sovereign banks that aren't owned by Rothschild corporations. But the other part of it is I've noticed now that because I've actually got the draw that no other New Zealander has in terms of being able to interview people like Michael Murphy and G. Edward Griffin, name-dropping such and such, blah, 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 I'm now capable of calling a chemtrail protest and have maybe 10, 15 people turn up, whereas previously I'd have to go out by myself with a megaphone and maybe one other person would come there and mind my camera to make sure that it didn't get stolen in the midst of me putting my banner up, which is sent to me by another listener, and megaphoning the cars as they pass by an intersection. You can see, if you search Vinny Eastwood chemtrails on YouTube, it should come up with a number of different videos, some of which are of great length. And we had a good protest a while back on the eve of a big giant chemtrail. Have you ever had the one clear, beautiful, crisp sky blue day, and there's nothing in the sky whatsoever except for one giant chemtrail across the whole city of 1.4 million people? That was the only thing in the sky that anybody could see, okay? It was so in your face. It was unbelievable.
Sounds like a chem bomb, actually. Have you seen the video, the talk on that from the conference in California? Chem bombs?
No. But what was real funny, because I got a call from one of my listeners who lives around the corner from me, and he said, "Bro, check out outside, look outside." Because you know when you're inside, you're not looking at the sky. So they could be chemtrailing you all day long, and you'd be blissfully unaware while you're sitting at your computer talking about how much chemtrails there are. So I bumped outside. I started recording it and things like that. And one of the people from the flat above us came out, and she goes, "Oh, how are you going?" And I goes, "Look at the sky, man." And she looks up, and there's in this beautiful blue sky and just this one giant chemtrail. She goes, "Oh, yeah, it's really nice, isn't it?" Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I want to stab myself in the eye with a pencil. The frustration, man. And also, people who you know. And this is interesting. Mm-hmm. I had my sister's boyfriend used to be in the Special Air Services, okay? Rumored to be some of the most elite forces in Zeeveld, you know. And he was just telling me that he has this friend who's does some kind of piloting or whatever, and he's real high up. You know, he flies planes for these people, that people, you know, passenger aircraft and whatnot. Well, he's not talking about chemtrails, so therefore they don't exist. And, you know, I can understand the mentality that if you've got contacts in a particular industry, you can go right ahead and say to them, "Hey, look, bro, this isn't going on." And you'd probably believe that person that you know, even if they're not the head of the company, even if they're not actually deep inside the company, even if they're even just a ground floor grunt in the thing, that person will say, "Oh, it's not happening here," or whatever, when they don't know jack. Most people don't know jack about anything. This is the society that we've been brought up into. A lack of education, a lack of discernment, and a lack of, basically, a willingness to even want new information. That's what I'm deeply concerned about, is this self-enforced ignorance. "Hey, I don't agree with that." Why not? "I don't agree with that."
We have the media.
Why?
I mean, the media is programming people big time. And the bankers spend a lot of money on making us apathetic. So people shut down. You can see their eyes glazing over and they shut down. And this mad scientific sort of dictatorship is really kicked in. And people, it's difficult to get through to them to even begin asking questions or just arrive at the fundamentals, at least to understanding this whole situation that they're in, that people are in a war, that it's depopulation, that people are being murdered from the skies and through vaccines and fluoride and food. And it's difficult to get through that first thing. What would you suggest? I mean, taking kids out of school, homeschooling them, banning television from the house. I mean, these are a few of my ideas.
I don't think you can give anybody specific advice at all. Okay, namely, you can't tell people don't drink fluoride. You can't tell people, you know, don't go outside when there's radiation or anything like that. Because what you're doing is you're simply giving them one incident that will give them a hand in one situation. The problem is that people will be surrounded by many incidents and many situations virtually at all times. So indeed, the fact of the matter is you cannot apply individual instances and things of which people can do, like turn off the TV, take your kids out of school, don't vaccinate them, blah, 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 blah. The reality is you've got to adopt principles instead, okay? For instance, a principle of liberty, freedom, and independence. Okay, so have a look at anything that you do in your daily life. Am I free? Is it libertine? And am I independent? Okay, so let's have a look at television. Did you make the shows? No. Did you have any say in the programming? No. Do you have any say when the ad breaks are or what they say on these shows or anything whatsoever? No. Do you watch them all the time anyway? Even though you've had no part in creating them and they don't have any input from you? Well, yeah, I do. Okay, you're dependent on it then. Independent would be if you would watch that television show and pick up something like, and this can be with anything, okay? I watch a lot of Family Guy, for instance, and what I've noticed is that every single episode of Family Guy that I have ever watched, since learning about Masonic symbolism, pyramids, black and white tile floors, all-seeing eyes, Jachin and Boaz, you know, pillars and stuff like that. If you know what these symbols are, every single episode of Family Guy, as I recollect, has had Masonic symbolism somewhere in it. Okay. Now, I heard one person say to me, hey, look, there was one bit where, okay, this is obvious coincidence. Brian Griffin is an atheist, and he's reaching for a book by Richard Dawkins, who is an atheist. And he's meeting this other girl who is an atheist, and she's reaching for the same book at the same time. Right beside that book, and during the entire conversation in which the camera angle does not move and the shot is exactly the same with these two people having a conversation, what is in the center of the shot? The two people talking or Richard Dawkins' book? No. It's actually the book next to Richard Dawkins' book, which has a pyramid with an all-seeing eye in the middle of it. Okay? Yeah. Now, a guy says, oh, that's only one thing and blah, blah, blah. Okay, let me give you another example. From every single episode, I can quote you an example. There was one where Stewie Griffin went back in time and
they could put all these clips together, you know, it'd be very interesting.
Well, see, they broke the fabric of reality. They got transformed themselves outside the space-time continuum. They created an explosion, which was the Big Bang. It's a causality loop, you know. The universe created him so he could create the universe and so on and so forth. One of the dudes goes back in time to assassinate one of Stewie's ancestors through his time machine, and it turns out that his ancestor is Leonardo da Vinci. And they have this big battle, blah, blah, blah. They're flying around in Leonardo da Vinci's flying machines, and then his flying machine blows up, the bad guy, and then he jumps out and he deploys his parachute, which is in the shape of a pyramid. Okay? And another one. I could actually go on forever about Masonic symbolism in every single... I'm not kidding! Every single episode. It's just unbelievable. The fact that it is every single one means that it cannot in any way, shape, or form be interpreted as a coincidence. If it had been in one program, sure. If it had been in two programs, maybe. If it had been three or more, no fracking way. As they say in the Navy, if it happens once, it's an accident. If it happens twice, it's a coincidence. If it happens three times, it's enemy action.
Yeah.
And they give this programming out to
everyone. I mean, that's a good place to start with people, because most people can relate to the TV. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to watch films.
Some of the stuff is even worse than that. Like we're watching Glee. Have you ever seen Glee?
Glee, no.
Heard of it? Or heard of it? It's kind of so. I don't know. No, if American Idol was turned into a sitcom, it would come up with Glee or something like that. It's basically a singing and dancing, blah 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 blah, spectacular high school with jocks and nerds and the whole stereotypical thing that you'd expect.
TV must be
indeed. But dig this. Me and Sarah were watching it, just flipping through the channels, and we watched this for about 5 minutes. And one of the girls is kind of like having a bit of a problem with her housing situation. And she says, and I'm not joking here, at least I'm not living in a FEMA trailer somewhere.
Mm.
Now, do FEMA trailers currently exist?
Yeah, that's entrainment, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I call it,
see?
With the chemtrails, I call it chemtrainment. It's normal now to see the Olympics or the Paralympics with a massive chemtrail behind it, and people are just smiling, going "Yay!" And it's in all the adverts. There's big streaks across the sky that are supposed to be normal, and they've even doctored things like the railway children. Somebody made a video and spotted it, and found an old video of theirs of the railway children where they're sitting on a fence and the train is going past, and it's ooh doot doot, and the new one, the new DVD remastered one, has a massive chemtrail across the same sky, which was clearly blank before when they put them together. I mean, I've just got in a... People are waking up, though, Vinny. I've just got out of a taxi. I'm numerically dyslexic. I misjudged the time on the bus, so I had to get a taxi and missed the last bus. And I said, can you make it back to my place, to Alderney, for for 1 o'clock. He said, why? I said, well, I'm on the road. I run a radio show. It's like a talk radio show, politics, New World Order. And the taxi driver said, New World Order? Chemtrails? Yeah, I know all about that. Brilliant. And he's phoned his wife straight away as he's driving. Oh, here's a link. Tune in at 1 o'clock. This is the chemtrail activist. And so people are changing. I mean, I spoke to the RAF. There was a big air festival going on, Bournemouth Air Festival on the south coast of England, the Spitfires and Lancasters, a big recruitment drive along the prom, you know. And the RAF had their stand, as usual. And I went up to the RAF and I put my recorder on in my pocket and I said, you know, can I ask you, what do you know about these, the aerial spraying that's going on over my, over this county? And he said, aerial spraying? He said, that's not something I was talking to a squadron leader, a warrant officer and a flight lieutenant. And none of them had ever heard of the aerial spraying and one swore blind that he had no knowledge of it. It's on my YouTube channel, Free Truth Show. And then they basically denied it and one said, and I pointed up at the chemtrails above their head and I said, that's not a contrail, is it? You know what a contrail is, etc., etc., etc. And they literally took the piss. One of them said, well, actually, I think that looks quite pretty, actually. You can make all sorts of shapes with that kind of thing, can't you? And they were literally just smirking and sort of chuckling to themselves.
Well, yesterday.
And this was the RAF, and I said,
yeah, yesterday, Patrick, I had a great idea. I had a great idea yesterday, bro.
From us, I said, well, I want you to arrest your superiors, actually, for spraying biological chemicals and weapons on the public. That's what I want from you. Sorry, Vinny, carry on.
Yesterday, I was having I had a great idea. You know how sometimes you have great ideas, it makes you sit bolt upright and in your seat, and you're like, yeah, that's so awesome, I want to see that. You know those people who write the songwriters in the sky. You know they have a plane and they make a trail and stuff like that. And they do a heart in the sky, or they write out a message for an advertisement or something.
Yeah, that's okay.
Let me finish. What we do is we pay somebody to do that and to write the word chemtrail in the sky.
Yeah.
Did you see the chem? And now everybody in the whole city will be saying, "Hey, bro, did you see chemtrail in the sky?"
I had an idea yesterday of actually dressing up in like biological suits, pretending to be the authorities on a megaphone saying, please everybody get inside, we're under a terrorist biological attack, and you know, with masks.
Oh, no, that's dangerous, bro.
That you could be masks. Inciting public probably disorder. Get arrested for that.
You'll be inciting public disorder, bro. That's not
what are they going to do? What are they going to do?
Well,
these are
desperate
times, you know.
I don't know. Look at it this way. If you keep asking yourself, what are they going to do, eventually you'll find out. You won't like it.
I think I did this week, actually. I was attacked in the bus station. It was very, very random. It was probably the most vicious fight of my life. And some random guy came up to me, headbutted me. I was just waiting for the bus, you know. And it's the third time in 6 months now, you know, so... Was it common purpose goons sent out to get me, or was it just a random attack? I don't know. None of the CCTV was working, and apparently there was no cameras on the bus. You know, it's just rubbish. So, So I saw your chemtrail. I know we're concentrating on chemtrails a bit much, but I wanted to speak to you about I saw your protest about the chemtrails. He was standing on the side of the street with a megaphone. This man is like myself. He gets out there and he dishes out leaflets to the public, and all he can do is educate them. They can't censor that. But I wanted to talk to you about the carbon taxes that are coming into New Zealand. What's the story now? How's that going?
Sorry, you rephrase the question?
The carbon taxes are bringing in they want to bring in New Zealand.
Oh, incidentally, Al Gore's coming to New Zealand.
It seems like Australia and New Zealand are the only people that are not happy about it. You know, everyone else in the world seems to be, that's a good idea. So how's it going there?
Al Gore's coming. That's how it's going.
Vinny.
He's going to be giving a speech about sustainable development and Agenda 21 to the government and the media, and nobody else is invited. They all have to pay for their seats. $1,000 a pop, probably.
So for people who don't know, just a quick run through. Agenda 21 is the United Nations regulations that we want to bring in, where you'll have no private property, no private transport, that's your car, and live in little boxes and not be allowed to roam in the countryside. So Al Gore of Blood and Gore Associates, that's a real company, is he coming anywhere near you? Are you likely to bullhorn him, or do you want to give your secrets away?
A friend of mine gave me his... a listener donated me a 15-watt megaphone once, and I used that to great effect on many, many protests, making people laugh and getting some information out with it. And one of my other mates in the movement here, who exposes a bit of scumbaggery within the child kidnapping circuits that the government run, you know, for protective services and what have you, he buys himself two 100-watt megaphones that have a wireless microphone and a big tall tripod as well. And so he's given me that on permanent loan. It's not my property. But I can use it as much as I want because, obviously, I'm out there and I'm active more than most, and I'm well connected more than most. So people see that, and so what they do is they give me the equipment so that I can do it even more than most. You know what I'm saying? And sure enough, I've used it to great effect. This thing can be heard inside the courtroom. Okay, this is what he did. Auckland District Court, big, tall building, 15 stories high or whatever. They could hear every word they were saying through that megaphone in the courthouses. Every single word, clear as crystal.
Yeah.
Right? So John Key, our Prime Minister, and... Al Gore, the man who pimped NAFTA and GATT, which destroyed the U.S. economy and manufacturing and drove down wages for everybody and destroyed working conditions, even for migrant workers. And also now he's pimping this carbon tax regime, which he himself will financially benefit from through a company called Blood and Gore. He's actually joined up with another guy, last name Blood, I forget his first name, and Al Gore, hence Blood and Gore. And they're going to sell carbon credits and taxes and basically administer this whole scam that they themselves came up with.
Through a Rothschild bank in Switzerland too.
Indeed. And the parliamentarians here in New Zealand are the I want to swear, but I don't want to as well, you know. Basically, my good friend, Vapi Kupinga, who's I call him my Auntie Vapi because during my first couple of years doing this, I was always broke, and every now and again she'd buy me coffee. I mean, I've only been able to buy a coffee at a cafe for myself in the last 6 months or something. It's been like about 4 or 5 years since I've been able to buy myself a coffee. That's how broke I've been. But she got the opportunity to speak to Parliament. Okay. All the MPs were there, she asked them one question: where is the money for the carbon tax going?
Yeah.
And I mean, that was the response.
As if we aren't taxed enough already. I mean, we've read the reports that the bankers, the international bankers, we've read the reports of how they want us to live in the future. Everyone on the planet is to have nothing. Austerity means nothing. Completely poor.
Well, so, austerity actually means to punish the poor for the mistakes of the rich.
And if you have...
Well, in fact, to punish the poor for the deliberate actions of the rich.
I mean, this Agenda 21 is ridiculous. Apart from not being able to live in the countryside and having no private property and private transport, living in little boxes and not being allowed to roam in the countryside, that would just be the wilding areas for the animals, you know. While they're spraying the environment with aluminium oxides and barium salts and radioactive strontium and bacteria and red blood cells, these carbon taxes, it's all based on a big global warming con, which is not actually happening. Now, I wanted to ask you one thing. I know Steve is the environment guy that was stung by a stingray and died. I know he's Australian, Do you know the chap I mean that was on television and he got stung by a stung ray in his heart? And
yeah. Well, yeah. Soon after that incident, it was revealed that he always had a special place in his heart for stingrays.
Yeah. Well, didn't he come out against global warming and say that it's a big con not long before that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I read that. It's the same with David Bellamy over here. I mean, anyone who comes out against carbon taxes and the global warming scam, which is basically what it is, or they call it climate
change. What do you suppose, bro, that it was a conspiracy that the stingray was in on it?
I don't know. Maybe there's a chip in the stingray's brain or something. They're able to redirect it. I don't know.
Well, see, they've got robotic drones now that are shaped like hummingbirds for surveilling you inside your own house kind of thing. You wouldn't even notice them. They've got dolphins as well that can be controlled, have cameras and things like that. They have sea lions, and that kind of thing. So it's not outside the realms of possibility, but I'd have to see some evidence before I confirm that it's actually a fact.
Yeah, it's an extreme example, an extreme conspiratorial example, I must admit. But I'm allowed one or two in every show.
Yeah. Well, it's just something, if you can separate fact from theory, okay, and a lot of people don't know the difference, Pat, is that I've got a theory, for example, of the 9/11 truth movement that Judy Wood, with her no planes and directed energy beam weapons, and Dmitry Khalazov with the nuclear devices, and what's his name? Richard Gage with the controlled demolition with nanothermite. Are actually all correct, and the New World Order used all three methodologies to bring those tower down simultaneously, so that any movement that props up after it, trying to expose the truth of it, will say, no, 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 it was controlled demolition. No, 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 it was nukes. No, 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 it was directed free energy weapons. Okay. And that way, you get the whole movement fractured, nitpicking about the details, and here we are, 11 years on, not a single terrorist has gone to jail for the attacks of 9/11, and not a single family member has ever gotten the real truth about the whole story. Brilliant.
Well, it has been 11 years, and the official story doesn't stand up, the same as 7/7, it doesn't stand up. But they won't even answer these questions, you see, any of these questions. Did you do anything for 9/11? Were you active out on the streets? I wasn't able to get to organize things myself.
I didn't even hear anything. I didn't see anything. I didn't know anyone doing anything. It was nothing. I mean, like, I had a very productive 9/11 in New Zealand the day before 9/11 in the Northern Hemisphere, obviously. And I did a little bit of a short video with my friend Ben Vigen, former artillery intelligence for the New Zealand Army, even trained in terrorism tactics and things like that as part of his regiment. And we did maybe a 10-15 minute video on that. And I did about maybe two segments on the show where I specifically talked about 9/11 and the different methodologies and the cognitive dissonance and the psychological ramifications of even finding out that 9/11 is an inside job. You know, this, that, and the other. And I had on Charlie McGrath from WideAwakeNews.net. Get a plug in for there. Charlie's just a cool dude, bro. Like, seriously, his show's so good. They had... and then Charlie brought me on his show for 2 hours, and we interviewed Susan Lindauer, who was a CIA whistleblower who was put in jail after 9/11 for speaking the truth out that the CIA knew what was about to happen. They had followed standard operating procedure, and they could have easily prevented the attacks, but they were stopped from doing their job. And the only person with clearance, or in fact, there's only three people with clearance that can make the Department of Defense or the CIA stand down, and that's either the President, the Vice President, or the Secretary of Defense, SecDef, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, and George H.W. Bush. The only three people who could have made the call to stop all of the normal armed forces and all of the normal intelligence operations from doing their normal job. In any such situation, they gathered intelligence, they knew attack was imminent, they knew it involved planes, they knew it involved the Twin Towers, they knew it involved the Pentagon, you know? They knew all that. and they were stopped. Okay? Yeah. Those three men, I think, are inherently guilty just by the very implication. They were the only three with the possibility of doing it. Ergo, they were the ones who did do it. You know, that was her conclusion, and I tend to agree. And why in the hell is Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld not even being investigated? Not even in jail? I mean, we had these court trials was it Malaysia or Thailand? I forget which, but...
The justice system is for the elite, and they're above the law, and the justice system is not for us, it's for the elite to just ride roughshod over.
Yeah.
They're above the law.
9/11 was an insurance job!
It was too, yeah.
You can look into 9/11 all you want, but it's one crucial piece of the conspiracy. The conspiracy is basically like this: the New World Order, as we mentioned before. Every single form of independence is under attack. Okay, if you've got a family, that won't be there anymore. If you've got a job and you got the job based on your merits or something like that, and you're actually capable of fulfilling potential in some way and not being a slave to somebody, that ain't going to happen no more. You know, basically, this is the way of the future. You will either be a slave or dead, and most of you will be dead. You know, that's what they want. I'm not going to say this is going to happen. I'm saying that this is planned, okay? And it's all the documents are all there, okay, for your reading, for your leisure. Two documents only. This is the global control grid in these two documents alone, okay? Agenda 21 and Codex Alimentarius, both through the UN. So if anybody says there is no global government, just bear in mind the UN, which is the global government to a large degree, or rather the Security Council. The Security Council of the United Nations are the ones who make all the important decisions. They're the ones who say, oh, yeah, we command NATO and blah, 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 blah. Guess who's the head of the Security Council? Barack H. Obama. As a dual role as president of the United States, he's also president of basically the World Armed Forces and the head of the Security Council of the United Nations. The only ones with voting rights, veto rights, stuff like that. If the entirety of the United Nations says, no, we don't want to do that, one person on the Security Council can just go, yeah, we're done. Okay? That's how it works. And it's a top-down, hierarchical control structure. Imagine it hyperspeed, okay? Imagine the worst kind of tyranny, worse than anything you've ever seen in any sci-fi movie. In fact, where do you think all the sci-fi movies get the ideas from? All right? That's what's coming if we don't stop it, okay? There's a train, it's coming down the line, 100 miles an hour, and there's a switch right next to you. You can pull that switch if you want and derail that train. Okay, that switch is the choice between, as Bill Hicks said, fear or love. Whether or not you will start doing things because you're afraid of the situation, or start doing things because you love people and you don't want to see them exterminated.
Does anybody have any questions for Vinny Eastwood from the chat? Please get them to me. I'm just looking at documents here, declassified documents from the Dorset Biological Warfare Experiments between 1963 and 75. During the years 49 to 64, there was a growing realization, confirmed by results from experiments conducted by Port and Down scientists, that a large area of England could be contaminated with simulated biological warfare agents by a single ship or aircraft. Experiments using the BW simulant, zinc cadmium sulfide, had shown that a spray aircraft flying along the coast of the UK could contaminate an area as large as 10,000 square miles. Well, they did it from a ship. The Lyme Bay trials, they had a ship off Portland, and it docked and it sprayed, and they waited for the wind to come in, and all the results are in. They actually sprayed Bacillus thuringiensis, if my memory serves me right, and anthrax mimicking agents and E. coli, and then set up monitoring stations along the coast to see what the effects were on the public. And the reason they did that was in case the Russians tried it, so they could defend themselves. So, if people don't believe...
Okay, well, I love the mentality. I love the mentality. I want to protect myself from being stabbed. So, in order to protect myself from being stabbed, I'm going to stab myself.
So I'll know how to deal with it if I'm stabbed by the Russians.
You know, oh man, I'm bleeding out. Oh, that's what it's like. I'll be prepared for next time, but you're going to be weaker next time because you stabbed yourself.
It's just like the movies. God, that blood looks so real.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
See, these people are crazy. They're crazy, yeah. Mofos, bro. It's just like, if you...
Here we go, look at this. During the first trial, the ECT Ice Whale, that's the ship, sprayed 108 litres of bacterial suspension, and then it had risen to 488. I mean, people had miscarriages, and this went on for years, up to about 1977, I think it was. And when asked, are there any ongoing... When the Ministry of Defence, the Ministry of Death, I call it, the MOD, were asked... Are you still doing this? He said, we can't possibly comment on possible ongoing commitments, you know, so yes.
That's a yes.
If people are wondering if these chemtrails are harmful, if you see the big streaks in the sky, and our government wouldn't do this to their own people, then have a look at the Dorset Biological Trials, declassified documents, all on the net, PDF, download it, look at it. And they've done it before, they've always done it, and they're doing it now across the planet, and it's ruining the environment. So if people really care about the fuzzy-wuzzy planet and the environment, then, you know, have a look at what your government's doing to it and the big corporations being allowed to get away from it. They don't care about the environment. These carbon taxes in New Zealand or in England is to enslave you and make more money out of it for themselves while they enslave you and murder you. So that's just one.
Basically, the more poignant way of putting it is they need you to build your own prison because they can't build it for you because it's too much hard work.
People are already self-policing themselves. I was in a bus station last year and I was rolling a cigarette. I hadn't lit it. I was rolling a cigarette, just a tobacco cigarette, and this man came up to me, looked as mad as wire, and said, you do realise it's illegal to smoke in the bus station, don't you? You know, and he was my age. He wasn't an old fuddy-duddy do-gooder. People are being trained to police everybody else. It's nuts. It's insane. Stop it. Like, you know,
you should have put the cigarette... You should have put the cigarette off on his eyeball.
What I actually said was, tell you what, can I make a suggestion? Why don't you piss off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't mind that practice per se. You go up and you tell something about blah, 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 such and such, whatever it is, okay? The person's just trying to give you a hand or they're trying to... You know, I tell people stuff all the time that they don't want to hear, okay? So there's nothing wrong with that practice per se. But if you don't know what the hell you're talking about, if you're invading somebody else's space when they haven't done anything wrong and you're basically the insinuation is you're about... to break the law, etc., when you haven't done anything. That is not cool in any way.
Look at this. This is from the Guardian newspaper in England. The ministry, the headline is Millions Were in Germ War Tests. The Ministry of Defense turned large parts of the country into a giant laboratory to conduct a series of secret germ warfare tests on the public. A government report just released provides for the first time a comprehensive official history of Britain's biological weapon trials between 1940 and 1979. So even while the war was going on, the Battle of Britain, 1940, they were spraying their own people. Many of these tests involved releasing potentially dangerous chemicals and microorganisms over vast swathes of the population, without the public being told. 60-page report, and the report reveals, you're going to love this, Vinny, the report reveals that military personnel were briefed to tell any inquisitive inquirer the trials were part of research projects into weather and air pollution. Yeah, but families in certain areas of the country who have children with birth defects are demanding a public inquiry. They're still doing it, folks, and that's from 2002, and that came out in the Observer. Anthony Barnett, thank you. I'm not sure about this question. Well, we might be veering over the edge of offending certain sections here, but ask if he knows Greg Hallett's claim that New Zealand is a lesbian dictatorship masquerading as a country. I don't think that's very helpful, though. But a lot of the people in New Zealand in the parliament, I mean, they are globalists, common purpose. Who are these people in your parliament that apparently running your country or taking orders? I mean, are they Fabian socialists? Are they generally Freemasons?
Yeah.
It's a very socialist.
Let me show you something. Parliament. Let me show you something.
I mean, who are they?
Okay, there's two things I want to show you here. One's a $10 note and one's a $20 note, and it'll give you some idea of the structure of New Zealand. Okay, I'm holding it up to the webcam, so those of you watching later on my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, will be able to see it. Now, what you've got here is you have the Queen. You have the Queen? Okay, now what's next to the Queen? You have the New Zealand Parliament called the Beehive. So you have a beehive and you have a Queen.
I didn't know that.
And right, and what's right next? That's right. And what's right next to it, what's right next to Parliament, is the country's largest Masonic lodge. So that's just three things that are right there in your face on it.
Right.
This is the $10 note. This is Kate Shepherd. Now, you will not be able to see the detail on this, but if you look up and Google $10 note, you'll be able to see it. Behind Kate Shepherd, there is a weaving pattern. And if you look very closely, that weaving pattern is the Star of David, repeated over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
So we
The beehive
are
itself,
in a very, very interesting country. Okay, and that aside, here's some other interesting factoids. The New Zealand Prime Minister, John Key, former Federal Reserve Bank head of derivatives and bond trading in Europe. He, in fact, came from Ireland during the Irish financial crisis, or rather before it, leading up to it. They passed a whole bunch of legislation that would allow, or rather encourage, major banking sectors to move their back offices there in order to take advantage of so-called sweetheart tax breaks. So that's exactly what John Key did when he was working for Merrill Lynch. He went into Ireland, did a whole bunch of dirty, dodgy dealings and derivatives trading, and then he got the frack out of there, put all that money into blind trusts, and the Irish economy soon collapsed after he left.
Blind trust, yeah.
He then went back to the United States and was the head of European bond and derivatives trading on the board of the Federal Reserve Bank in New York. That's for 2 years he was there. And then when he left there, the United States economy collapsed, and then he became Prime Minister of New Zealand, and now New Zealand's economy is about to collapse.
It's not a coincidence!
This is, you know, that's just the Prime Minister. His partner in crime is the former mayor of the super city Auckland, a man who has thrown me out of a council meeting because I was simply filming the council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with a tripod, sitting there, not hiding it.
Let me just stop you for a second, Winnie. We've just got 5 minutes left. I don't have as much time as I used to until I get a good slot again, hopefully.
Don't worry, I can finish. I can wrap this up in 1 minute, man.
I'm almost done. I was just going to say that these bankers, these people who are running your government, Plato is their god. And he said himself that our ideal state is like a beehive. Above the workers, we have drones. And you look at the Pope's headgear is a beehive, you know. Yellow and black is the symbol of the bee. Bees are good for busyness. We send our children off to school in yellow and black school buzzies. Drones are males with no sting. They are the priests who inseminate the queen. When her egg-laying is impaired, they secretly raise another by the feeding of specially prepared royal jelly. Like monks, bees live in cells, etc. And I'm just quoting from Alan Watts, Cutting Through the Matrix, Cutting Through Volume 1. But, yeah, I mean, please continue and wrap it up, Vinny, okay. who these people are. Running
John Banks. John Banks, who has taken money from Kim.com and denied he ever took money from Kim.com, 33rd degree Freemason. John Key, current Prime Minister, 32nd degree Freemason. The current Mayor of Auckland, which was John Banks' previous role, is a 32nd degree Freemason. I interviewed James Robert Wright yesterday, who's was part of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree in Dallas, Texas, who had access to all sorts of information. And in his expert opinion, having been betrayed by these people and having to move out of Dallas because of the amount of harassment he was suffering, he says that anybody who is in power, like in politics, who is also a high-ranking Freemason, is definitely, quote, definitely corrupt. Like, as in, there's no wiggle room. So the three most powerful positions in this country are the Mayor of Auckland, Coalition Partner, and Prime Minister, all three of which positions are occupied by high-level Freemasons.
Yeah. I mean, that's where their loyalty lies, by the way, folks. If you think you're voting for your Prime Minister or your President, and they're Masons, their first loyalty is to the Lodge, to uphold this system. They swear an oath to uphold this system, but their loyalty lies at the Lodge and the Freemasons above them. That's who they really take their orders from.
But again,
not the people.
This is not Freemasons. This is high-level Freemasons of the Scottish Rite, specifically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And people don't know the difference between Scottish Rite or Blue Lodge or Shriners or anything. There are many, many sects to secret societies that are running all over the place. But as far as I've ascertained, you need to be wide at the base and narrow at the tip. Okay, so you've got the most amount of accurate information and the smallest target that can be hit with it. And what James is now doing is he's organizing an international movement to investigate and, if necessary, remove any high-level Freemasons who are involved in political positions.
Excellent. They have no right to be there. It's their system, I believe. They believe that we should run it and for them and be their slaves, and they have every right to be above the law. No, they don't. They have a loyalty. Well, the people have a loyalty to themselves at heart, at first, and these people are crooks and criminals, and they have no right meddling with our lives. We're just about to wrap it up now. We've got about 30 seconds to go. Thank you, Vinny Eastwood. We'll say goodbye to you, and thanks for your input, and we'll get you on again soon, and everyone's loving you in the chat here, as ever. God bless you.
Thanks, Patrick, and you have yourself a wonderful day, mate.
Thank you. Thanks again, Vinny.
And, of course, if anybody wants to check me out, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and AmericanFreedomRadio.com. 5 nights a week, 2 hours just before this show. So you can listen to me, then Patrick. See you again.
Thank you, Vinny. Well, it's good night from the Free Truth Show. And thanks for tuning in, folks. And we'll see you next week at 1 a.m. Good night.